This is Chad Harrison, and you're listening to Hope Alive, applying God's Word to your daily life. Hi, this is Chad Harrison, and I am the teaching pastor of Lake Community Church and have been serving as a pastor for 25 years. I'm also a practicing attorney. This podcast is designed to help you study God's Word and find God's will for your life. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that God would open up His Word to you and allow you to see Him and to know Him and to know His will, that you might glorify Him and that you might walk in faith and power each and every day, especially today, in Jesus' name. Good morning. Welcome to Lake Community Church's morning Bible study. We're in Exodus chapter 35 and verse 22 and verse 20. And we are dealing with, they're bringing the offering. They're doing what they were asked to do. And I want you to notice, there is something that is really, really important. Oftentimes, when we look at the Old Testament, we don't look and see the unction of the Holy Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit urging people to do things. And we don't see the freedom that the people of Israel had. And we don't see that this is about us freely choosing to love God. And so oftentimes we feel like there's a dichotomy between the Old Testament and New Testament, and there really isn't. God was limited in that, in the Old Testament, in that He didn't have His Son as the embodiment of His image so that we could actually know Him in completeness as we know Him now through Jesus Christ. But that being the case, we still see intimacy, we still see the work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of people, and we still see people choosing to serve God by their own desires and by their own heart. And we see that regularly throughout Scripture in the Old Testament, but sometimes we go by it and we forget it. And I think this is one of those passages where God stirring toward people, and those people are willing and ready to do and to be a part of God's plan. And in verse 20 it says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses." So everyone left after Moses gave them God's instruction. And then it says, "Then everyone came whose heart was stirred." And that's the key phrase for this section of Scripture. Who stirs the heart? Oftentimes we think that a person's ability to speak or the eloquence of a speech is what stirs the hearts of people. And that may be the case when you're talking about things like football or some athletic event and a coach speaking to their players. But that is not the case when we're talking about God's Word and when we're talking about God's plan for humanity. No individual stirs the hearts of men. The Holy Spirit stirs the hearts of men. Sure, when we use our spiritual gifts and a person has something that is very near to their heart, or when somebody has something to say that is eloquent and really well thought out and prepared, sure, that can stir someone's heart. But I'm talking about stirring someone's heart to life-changing action. And that kind of thing only happens by God. Only God changes the hearts of people. Only God does things that make people new and make people different than they were before. Only God and His presence makes life what it ought to be. And when we think that there's the human element to that is of the utmost importance, and we place great importance on the human element, we're focusing on the wrong thing, and we're in many ways glorifying the wrong thing. We're glorifying the flesh rather than glorifying the Spirit. And the kingdom is not built by flesh. The kingdom is built by Spirit. It's built by human beings hearing God's voice and acting upon it. And so when it says, "Then everyone came whose heart was stirred," what it means is those who heard and those who allowed the Holy Spirit to speak to them and listened, their hearts were stirred by God. It says, "And everyone's whose spirit was willing." So we've got stirred hearts and willing spirits. That's the type of ingredients that brings about great life change for people. And it says, "And they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. Notice, they brought it because God stirred their heart and they were willing to do what God had for them to do. If you notice, there's all the elements of faith. There's all the elements of the hand of God at work in the lives of the people. That's how this thing happens. And we're looking at it not in John or 1 Peter or the book of the Revelation. We're looking at it in Exodus, in the wilderness. We're seeing the same plan, the same organizational structure, the same way God does things over and over again. And we're seeing it back in the book of Exodus. He says their hearts were stirred. He says their hearts were willing. And when they heard what God said, they brought their offerings. He says they came both men and women. Notice, are we talking about the patriarchal Old Testament? Yeah, we are. But it's not, it never has been just the men. The women have always been involved in kingdom work. He says both the men and the women, as many as had willing hearts. See, God's been working on the hearts of men and women for the whole time man's been on the earth. And so we see them being stirred by the voice of Moses. The women heard it as well as the men. And they had willing hearts. It says, and they brought earrings and nose rings. That kind of ties into today too. All right, and it says, rings and necklaces, all jewelry of gold. That is every man who made an offering of gold to the Lord. It says, and every man with whom was found blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, red skins and rams and badger skin brought them. Notice, they're bringing exactly what God asked them to bring. And we went through that yesterday at the end of the Bible study. Everyone who offered an offering of silver or bronze brought the Lord's offering, meaning that if they were a regular giver to God, they brought what God asked for them to do. And that generally is the way it is even today. And we see it back then. If you're a regular person who does faith, you do faith when God speaks. And if you're regularly seeing the hand of God at work, you regularly want to see the hand of God at work in your life each and every time God speaks. He says in verse 25, all the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands and brought what they had spun of blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. Notice, everyone is at work doing what God asked them to do. They are using their gifts like we talked about yesterday. They're using who they are, and they're uniquely serving God, and they're uniquely bringing these offerings that God has asked for. And I love that you have it tied in. The Holy Spirit urges it. The human heart hears it. The human heart is stirred by it. Once the human heart is stirred by it, the human heart is willing to serve God. And it's not a few people. It's the whole congregation. It's everyone coming together to do it. And I've seen that happen in a church. And when that happens in a church, there's not much that church can't do. There's not much that won't happen to build the kingdom in that church. That church is going to do big stuff. That church is going to do kingdom stuff on a regular basis. And who can arise to that standard? Who can reach up to that place? Only those who hear from God. Only those who hear from God. He said, all the women who were gifted artisans, they came and spun. It says, and all the women whose hearts were stirred with wisdom spun yarn and goat hair. Notice, what were their hearts stirred with? Wisdom. What is wisdom? Seeing things from God's perspective. It is knowledge of the world seen through the eyes of God. And they saw that goat, they saw the need for it. They were the ones who had the ability, the knowledge, and they did it. The rulers, meaning those who were in charge, those who were wealthy, they brought the onyx stones and the stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and spices and oils for light, for the anointing oil, and for sweet incense. The children of Israel, notice the children brought a freewill offering to the Lord. All the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all kinds of work, which the Lord, by the hand of Moses, had commanded to be done. When we think about the kingdom at work in our modern times, we've begun to make our churches so consumer-based, and I'm talking about making it a consumption-based appeal to the world, meaning come here and we will meet your needs. Come shop for the place that meets your needs. And when we do that, when we make it consumption-based, what happens is, generally speaking, our churches become monolithic in the sense that they have just a certain group of people that is their church. And I've experienced that myself. I know what it looks like. And let me tell you something, it can be very detrimental to the kingdom work. It's very detrimental if your church is just a certain age group or just a certain ethnic group or just a certain group as far as socioeconomic status, maybe a wealthier church or a poorer church or whatever. It's so detrimental to the kingdom work, because what happens is those people generally are all alike, and what they do is alike, and there's no diversity. There's no spread of the wisdom of God, the experiences of God. When you have young people, the excitement and the expectation of good things from God. If you do not have a good mix of everything, a mixture of all the people of God in what God's doing, oftentimes what happens falls flat. And a church has to have young people, but a church also has to have old people. A church has to have sometimes some wealthy folks that kind of make certain things happen. But you know what? The poor who want to serve God oftentimes will serve to the very ends of their ability. They'll give and give of everything they've got. And then the older folks want to see the hand of God at work. And when you have young people alongside of them, they can see God working in their hearts, and it stirs them to even greater work and greater giving. And a church needs to be a church of all the people. And when God is calling his people to do, he calls all of us to do. He calls all of us, no matter how much you know about him, how long you've been in the kingdom, how much you've served him in the past, he's calling us all to get involved and get to work. And we're now at the time here where school is beginning and the new school year is starting. And we have all kinds of things going on around town and in the community. And it is good for the older folks who don't have children, maybe haven't had children in school in a long time, for them to invest in what's happening in our community, them to invest in what God is doing in the schools around us, so that there's an investment in the kingdom work in the arteries of our society. And it's time for us to get fired up about reaching out to those who are struggling, who need that, and use the opportunities that are available to us. And so I always think that the church is the whole church. It's not just one group or another group. And a church that is healthy, a church that is in a position to really do something in its community, generally speaking, has men and women on Sunday morning. They have old and young on Sunday morning. They have poor and rich on Sunday morning. They have black, white, red, and yellow on Sunday morning. They have all the people of God coming and meeting and growing. And I pray that'll be the case for you. I pray that you'll see that as your opportunity and that you'll make it happen. And that I pray that as we begin a new school year, that you will see the great things that God has prepared to do for us and for us as a church. As you go today, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that he'll make his face to shine upon you, and that he will give you hope and peace today in Jesus' name.